I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, for many Christians, sharing the good news is a core obligation. So what to do when that mission is perceived by the very people you most want to reach as disrespectful? We'll have that conversation in our Faith Matters segment next. But first, the Democratic presidential nomination fight moves on to Indiana and North Carolina after Senator Hillary Clinton's victory in Pennsylvania this week. She beat Senator Barack Obama by 10 percentage points. With us to talk about all of this is Brian Howie. He's an independent political analyst and publisher of the online newsletter Howie Politics Indiana. Also with us is Paula McLean. She's a professor of political science at Duke University in North Carolina. Welcome to you both. Professor McLean, if I could start with you. Now, I understand you are from Pennsylvania, so I'd like to ask you, what about Hillary Clinton's victory there is important to think about as we move on to Indiana and North Carolina?
Well, thinking about North Carolina, I'm not sure that there's much you can tell from the victory in Pennsylvania as predictive of what would happen in North Carolina, because the demographics of the state are different. The size of the black population in North Carolina is larger, and blacks represent 38% of the registered Democrats. So it's a very different dynamic.
And what do the polls show there?
Mm-hmm. Well, the horse race here is anywhere from the various polls from 9 to 25 points for Obama, with an average of about 15.5.
Brian Howie, Indiana seems like demographically a little more similar to Pennsylvania than North Carolina. So same question to you. Is there something from Pennsylvania that's going to be relevant to think about for Indiana?
Well, it is eerie. The demographics are very similar with African-Americans, Hispanics, and whites, almost within a point or two between Indiana and Pennsylvania. The big difference here is this is an open primary, Republicans and independents. And I'm hearing from both those groups that many will participate in the Democratic primary. So that's the key difference between Indiana and Pennsylvania in this particular thing.
To what end, though? Why do they want to participate? I know that, you know, the conservative talk show host Rush Limbaugh had been encouraging Republicans to participate in the Democratic primary in open primaries in order to vote for the weaker candidate. I'm not sure who he thinks that is at this point. But why do you think that people are going to participate? What do you think their objective is? Are they just, it's just fun?
No, I think when you go to the gas pump, and we're paying about $3.65 a gallon. Last week I went to the store, bought 2 gallons of milk, a gallon of apple cider, and 2 bags of groceries, and it was $106. These are pocketbook issues. And so there's some pain and suffering here. And Republicans are not happy about how the Iraq war has been waged. They were on board with President Bush when it began, but have not been happy about how it's been executed. And these are issues, I think, that are going to bring a lot of Republicans and independents to the polls.
So you think they're not interested in participating in the primary for purposes of mischief-making, but really to send a message about the things that they care about?
Yeah, you know, everything I've heard about the Rush Limbaugh thing is you know, kind of, it may have a tiny little impact along the fringe. And, of course, we also are in the Chicago media market. There was a beloved columnist, Mike Royko, who used to say in his columns, lie to the pollsters, you know, and it never really happened. So I don't think that Rush Limbaugh is really going to have much of an impact on this particular race.
And just briefly, what's the horse race in Indiana? What are the polls saying as of right now?
We had two polls that came out, both within the margin of error. The Wish TV poll has Obama up 48-47%. There's the Indianapolis Star WTHR TV poll that has Obama up 41-38%. Those are consistent with, for instance, the Los Angeles Times Bloomberg poll that was out last week that had Obama up by 5%. We've got a horse race here. Everybody's saying this is going to go down to the wire. Or as we say in Hoosier basketball parlance, it's going to be a barn burner.
Okay. Paula McLean, there's a new ad from the North Carolina Republican Party that's already got national attention. It's about, it's ostensibly about two state candidates, but it's really about Senator Obama and his former pastor, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, who incidentally is speaking out now for the first time in some weeks. But we have a short clip, and I understand that playing this clip is going to be controversial for some people because their argument is why disseminate it further, but I don't know how we can discuss it without playing it, so I'm going to play a short clip. Here it is.
For 20 years, Barack Obama sat in his pew listening to his pastor.
And then wants us to sing God Bless America? No, no, no. Not God Bless America. God damn America. That's in the...
Now, Beth Perdue and Richard Moore endorse Barack Obama. They should know better. He's just too extreme for North Carolina.
The North Carolina Republican Party sponsored this ad opposing Bev Perdue and Richard Moore for North Carolina governor.
So interesting. Senator McCain has asked that the ad be pulled, and the party leaders have said, no, thank you. You know, we're doing this. So Professor McClain wanted to ask you, what kind of reaction is the ad provoking? And do you think it's having an effect on the race down there?
Well, the ad actually hasn't run yet. It was rolled out at a press conference, and then the national media picked it up. It's supposed to start running on Monday. But two television stations in the state have refused to run it, one in the Raleigh market, one in the Charlotte market. There's the emergence of a backlash within the state Republican Party, where a number of state Republicans are distancing themselves from what the chairman of the North Carolina Republican Party is doing. So that the backlash that appears to be occurring within the Republican Party might in fact blunt some of the negative effect if this ad actually ends up on the air. I expect it to end up on the air, but the question is, where will it be and how much saturation will there be?
Brian Howie, what about in Indiana? Do you think that the whole Reverend Wright controversy is having an effect on the race there as part of the conversation?
No, I don't. I think this is a national media concoction looking for some friction point. The people that I talk to about this race are talking about jobs, Iraq, high gas prices, that kind of thing. And I have to say that, you know, there's a lot more to Reverend Wright than I think we're coming out. For instance, Valparaiso University in northern Indiana honored Reverend Wright for a lot of his social work. There's just a whole part of that portfolio concerning Reverend Wright that hasn't really been exposed. And I just don't think that it's going to have much of an impact here. They can try to milk it, but when Obama comes out and says it's just a distraction, I think a lot of Hoosiers agree with him.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News, and our guests for our weekly political chat are Brian Howie of Howie Politics Indiana and Professor Paula McClain of Duke University. Professor, we've been talking about a lot about the economy in recent weeks. Brian was just talking about, you know, gas prices and, you know, food prices and so forth. In North Carolina, there's a large military community, and I wonder whether that raises the Iraq War or national security in general as a sort of a higher issue on the priority list, and how does that conversation play out in terms of people's choices?
Well, Clinton was here yesterday, and she was in one of the areas with the large military bases, and she did stress security issues. She had a number of generals with her, but in North Carolina, this is a combination of issues. We've got a very dire economic situations for some segments of the population. And the military are not exempt from this because many of the military families at these bases are non-commissioned officers, low pay scales. A number of their families use food stamps and a whole host of other things. So that, you know, trying to dichotomize security versus the economy is not the way I think these politicians are going to go, but that one has to kind of blend the two, because maybe if we weren't spending as much money in Iraq, that we wouldn't have the economy that we have domestically.
And speaking about the economy for a minute, when I talk to voters in Pennsylvania about their choice between Clinton and Obama, a number of them said that the reason that they voted for Clinton was that she seemed better versed in the nitty-gritty of economic policy than Obama. So, you know, like them both, but just she seems stronger on those issues. So, Paul, I wanted to ask you, are you hearing that? Is that the perception that some people have in North Carolina as well?
The flow at this point in North Carolina is towards Obama. And so issues related to whether or not Clinton is better on economic issues than Obama don't seem to be part of the discussion. The economy, the war, are the issues people are talking about, but that Obama seems to be the individual that people perceive as having the best positions on these.
Brian, what about you? Same question.
Well, we saw Hillary Clinton a couple of weeks ago very effectively weave jobs issues when she came to Indiana after Pennsylvania, and she said the issues are jobs, 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 jobs. She went to a former Magna Quench plant up in Valparaiso, made military-sensitive magnets that is since moved to China, and then up at the AM General plant in Mishawaka where they make the Hummer. And I thought she did a very good job of weaving the jobs issue in with national security and basically saying we were outsourcing national security. So I give Senator Clinton some pretty high marks on how she executed those issues, because those are the kinds of things that Hoosiers will make a final decision on.
And I think we do need to talk about race. Brian, what sense do you have about how race is playing into the decision-making?
Yeah, you know, our state is about 8% African-American. We don't have a long history. We've elected only 3 African-American mayors, 2 African-American sheriffs, 3 members of Congress in our 192-year history, okay? And one of them, Katie Hall, only lasted one term. So it was fascinating to watch Barack Obama take the stage in Evansville. That's supposedly Clinton country, and yet there's 8,000 people in a basketball stadium who came to hear the message, and we saw similar crowds in the New Albany area the next day.
And were they diverse?
Yes, the crowds are diverse, and people were really leaning into the speech, and I think they've got an open mind.
Okay, Paula?
I think with the large black population in the state, in order for Clinton to take the Democratic primary, she's going to have to take 3 out of every 4 white votes in the state to offset the black population. I don't think she's going to get that because just yesterday you had 43 mayors of various size cities come out in support of Obama. So there are going to be a sizable number of whites in North Carolina who will vote for Obama, and combined with the black vote, he will win the primary. But yes, this is North Carolina, and so Obama's race will, in fact, be a factor for some of those individuals.
Paula McLean is a professor of political science at Duke University. She joined us from their studios there. And Brian Howie is a political analyst and blogger for Howie Politics Indiana. He joined us by phone from Indianapolis. I thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.